Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. After the first commercial break, we're going to have a very interesting gentleman on this show from Denver, Colorado, Michael Menachem Korn, who has some things to say about Christian Zionism, about 9/11, about his own conversion from Judaism to Christianity. And Michael, I think, will be very helpful in getting at the bottom of some things from an inside perspective that we need to understand in this prophetic age in which we live. He'll be on after the first commercial break, and I'm looking forward to interviewing him. He's been a guest on Michael Collins Piper's show, and Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross has recommended Michael, and I'm just, again, looking very much forward to a conversation with him in the next 3 hours about a series of things that I believe we need to understand in this day and age in which we're living, as we move into very significant and prophetic times. Before Michael comes on, I just wanted to mention a couple of news items. If you're checking BATR News today, you'll discover that we have some new posts there in the last 24 hours. Electronic Intifada has a post entitled, How Barack Obama Decided He Loved Israel. Barack Obama has had a gradual shift, according to Electronic Intifada, into the IPAC camp that had begun as early as 2002, as he planned his move from small-time Illinois politics to the national scene. If you take a look at that post, it's very interesting that at one time Barack Obama seemed to be very close to the pro-Palestinian community. Then there was a shift and began occurring as early as 2002. And in 2003, the Jewish Forward publication reported on how Barack had, quote, been courting the pro-Israel constituency, unquote. That'll be a fascinating thing to watch in the days ahead, given his competition with Hillary Clinton and John Edwards and others for the Jewish vote and for Jewish money and for the favor of the Israeli lobby. We'll be keeping an eye on that one in the days ahead. I mentioned yesterday on this show the significance of the acquisition of the New Republic on the part of Can West Communications and the Asper family. Again, watch that one, not simply for what it means for the New Republic, which is moving in even further pro-Zionist directions than it already has, apparently, but why is CanWest Global Communications suddenly interested in further acquisitions of American media publications? Again, that's something to keep an eye on, and it seems to be particularly significant given the fact that we're coming up to another presidential election cycle year. Another post at Israel National News. Jews organize new campaign for the release of convicted spy Jonathan Pollard. American Jewish organizations have organized a massive nationwide campaign to call the White House every afternoon for the next 2 months and request and demand freedom for Jonathan Pollard. You may recall that Jonathan Pollard was sentenced in 1978 to life imprisonment for selling military secrets to Israel while working as an intelligence analyst for the U.S. Navy. The campaign is to last, if it does not succeed in attaining its goal beforehand, until after Passover, the holiday of freedom. The campaign is spearheaded by the National Council of Young Israel and is predicated on the fact that the White House tallies all incoming calls, quote, and so every single phone call makes a difference, unquote. Keep an eye on that one. Jews organize new campaign for the release of convicted spy Jonathan Pollard. Gary Lupp for Counterpunch has an article on Elliot Cohen, Condoleezza Rice's new deputy. And now Elliot Cohen, this man who thinks we're in the middle of World War IV against the Muslim world and who's written a book entitled The Supreme Command, arguing that presidents need to control their sometimes reluctant generals, has been appointed by Condoleezza Rice as the new counselor of the State Department. Salon's Glenn Greenwald calls Cohen as extremist a neoconservative as exists. We'll be back with Michael Korn. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Michael or Menachem Korn of Denver, Colorado. Michael was born in the United States. He moved to Israel after graduating from Harvard. He enlisted in the Baal Teshuva movement and then joined a Messianic Hasidic cult, Breslov. I'll have him explain that to you here shortly. I was involved in that from 1990 to 1999. Through the help of South African missionaries, Michael Korn came to see Jesus Christ as the Jewish Messiah and a Savior of the world. He was baptized in a natural spring in the Israeli Galilee outside of the famous mystical city of Safed on the 20th of June 2000. He now seeks to introduce Jewish people to Jesus Christ, their Messiah, whom they don't yet know. And yet, interestingly enough, Michael Korn is not involved in what we think of today as Christian Zionism. He has a very unique perspective on that whole subject, as well as a series of things related to 9/11 and to the New World Order and to some of the leaders of the so-called Christian right who've been very much involved with Christian Zionism and with support of George W. Bush and related individuals and topics. Michael, how are you, sir? Are you there? Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning.
Hi. Listen, as far as your biography is concerned, share with us whatever you would like to, Michael, particularly as it relates to the fact that you come out of a Jewish background, have converted to Christianity, and yet have never been identified, as near as I can tell, with Christian Zionism, and have a series of things, of course, to say both about Christian Zionism as well as George W. Bush and 9/11 and the New World Order. Take all of that in any direction you would like this morning.
Okay, well, I'll just summarize briefly. I was born and raised in the United States in a kind of a secular Jewish home. I had a basic Jewish education, like Hebrew school, Sunday school, which culminates in a bar mitzvah afterwards, kind of religious affiliation disappears. It's a ceremonial sort of thing. And then when I went to university, I guess like most people, did a lot of searching for identity, and I started to explore my own religious roots. I had a number of roommates when I was at college who were quite devout Catholics, and we used to talk quite a bit about religion, and I realized that they took their religion a lot more seriously than I took mine, and that kind of challenged me to delve into things a little bit. When I was at university, I was raised in California, but I attended, I went to Harvard in the East Coast, and I didn't really like the East Coast Jewish mentality of a lot of my friends and schoolmates there, and I felt there was something very kind of insular, ghettoized, negative about their overall mentality. Californians tend to be a lot more open and sort of less conscious of ethnic and religious identity. So I ended up getting involved with the Zionist student movement at Harvard, and I visited Israel in the summer of after my sophomore year, which involved working and traveling over there.
What year was that, Michael?
That was in 1978, the summer of 1978. And I fell in love with Israel. It was very different from being Jewish in America, and I thought that living in Israel is sort of the right way to be fulfilled as a Jewish person and not to be constantly feeling sort of insecure about fitting in with a non-Jewish environment and a culture that you're, you know, living in as a minority member. And in 1982, I moved back there permanently, so I thought. And I still didn't really have any kind of Jewish religious affiliation. My interest in Israel was more from a kind of a secular pioneering approach, you might say. And I was living on a secular kibbutz, which are kind of used to absorb new immigrants, and they give you like a language course and try to help you sort of adjust to living over there. And this was in 1982, during the Israeli invasion of Lebanon, which in Israel, this was perceived as Israel's first offensive war. And it was a bit like the Vietnam experience over here. It caused a lot of social conflict and unrest. Many Israelis were not comfortable with the idea that they had invaded and occupied another country. So there was great dissatisfaction on the kibbutz that I was on about this war. There was a lot of anti-government feeling. Menachem Begin was the prime minister at the time. Ariel Sharon was the defense minister. And the kibbutz members really disliked these people intensely, and the attitude was extremely negative, and this kind of confused me. I didn't see, you know, the super patriotic Zionism that I had anticipated because of, you know, the problems with this war. So around the same time, I met a group of Jewish people who were part of what they call the Baal Tshuva, which is sort of a Jewish revivalist movement. It's like a Jewish born-again movement that brings people back into religious Jewish practice. And I'm sure you know about it. It's extremely popular in Israel and the United States and other areas of the world. And these people had a lot of passion, a lot of ideology. They were very committed, you know, to the idea of Israel being a Jewish state coming out of a theological ground. And I was intrigued by this group of people because they, unlike the sort of the general Israeli attitude of pessimism that I saw all around me, these people were extremely fervent and passionate about their Zionism and their religious practices. So I ended up attending a yeshiva, which is like a Jewish seminary in Jerusalem, quite a well-known one called Or Sameach. I was there for over 3 years, and then I moved on to other yeshivot, which are, you know, other institutions of Jewish religious studies. And so I would say from about 1983 to about the year 2000, I was living in Israel as an ultra-Orthodox Jew. I was completely committed to that lifestyle and integrated into that community. I was in, let's see, around 1990, I got involved in two radical Hasidic movements, which are, first was Chabad, which is extremely well known in the United States. I'm sure you know about them, the Lubavitch movement.
Yes.
And then later I got involved with the Breslov movement, which isn't as well known here, but it's more popular in Israel. They say that Breslov is sort of the main Hasidic movement in Israel, and Chabad is more popular outside of Israel amongst Jewish communities. And they're very extreme in their practices. You know, I would wear a long coat in the extremely conservative form of dress. They incorporate a lot of Jewish mystical teachings into their everyday practice. And the most important thing that I want to mention for our interview is that they're extremely messianic, which means that Chabad and Breslov both take very literally the idea of a flesh-and-blood messianic leader who either has come or is about to come, who will be a king over Israel and the entire world. They're very much like a successor to King David. And Chabad and Breslov themselves are a little bit rivals because each one of them claims that their respective leaders was the Messiah and set the whole messianic redemption in motion. So there's a little bit of rivalry between them. Their teachings are a little bit different. I don't really want to go into that right now. The practical kind of emphasis and how their followers live, but they do take very seriously the idea that they have produced the messianic leader, and they believe that the state of Israel's rise is definitely associated with a Jewish messianic redemption. So anyway, I was involved with these groups from about 1990 to the late 1990s, up to about the year 2000. But in the last few of those years, I was beginning to become very dissatisfied with these groups. I was dissatisfied with the aggression and the hostility, the belligerence that these groups have towards, not just towards Arabs and non-Jews in general, but even towards secular Jewish people, secular Israelis. They make a great effort to missionize and convert secular Israelis into their form of Jewish practice, but sometimes there's a lack of respect in the way they speak about or treat people who don't adhere to their views.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Michael Korn. You can find his website at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'd like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that's going to be bringing Mark Dankos, America and RBN to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South, even as we continue to expand with our other conventional affiliates. And the restoration of our Internet archives and the expansion of our outreach on international shortwave radio. So keeping abreast of all of those events in the days ahead as RBN moves into a new phase of its existence and continues to try bringing the best alternative information to you that is routinely not found in corporate news media. Our special guest today is Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado. You can find Michael's website at JesusOverIsrael.com. blogspot.com. Michael, we were at a point where we were discussing your involvement in this messianic Hasidic cult called Breslov from 1990 through about 1999, that toward the end of that time you began to have some feelings of disenchantment with that movement. That brings us, in terms of your own biography, right up to around the year 2000. And as I think about what I know of your biography, it's kind of interesting. You have the involvement in the United States, both in California and later in the northeastern part of the United States. You went to Harvard. You have been involved in both the secular Zionist movement through the Zionist student movement there at Harvard. Subsequently, in Israel, have been involved with the religious side, I suppose, of Zionism. The Messianic Hasidic cult Breslov for about 10 years, not quite 10 years. This then brings you up to about the year 2000.
Right. Can you still hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. What happened is I lived in Israel. I lived mainly in Jerusalem and also in Tzfat, which is way up in the north in the northern Galilee. Both of them are very strong religious centers. And when I was in Tzfat, I had many friends there, and I used to go there just to kind of get away from the turmoil of life in Jerusalem. My Orthodox friends there told me that there was a Christian missionary group that was operating in the center of Tzfat. It was that it attracted quite a few people. There were maybe 20 or 30 people involved in it. And I had a little bit of interaction with missionaries when I was at Harvard. Also, when I first came to Israel, when I was on the kibbutz, I met a number of Dutch missionaries who were working on the kibbutz, and I studied with them a little bit. I knew a little bit about Christian theology, and I was interested to meet these people and to see what was going on. I also wanted to kind of run them out of town, you might say.
Yes.
I wanted to challenge them and sort of convince them that they shouldn't be working in the Tzfat area. Tzfat, you should know, prides itself on being the only city in Israel that doesn't have the remains of a church, that's never had a church in it, that quote unquote is never tainted by Christianity. So Tzfat views itself, or it's called Safed in English, I guess. It views itself, it takes a lot of pride in that it's the purest Jewish city in the world. And it was also the home, the birthplace of the modern Kabbalah movement in the 1500s, 1600s. So Tzfat is an extremely fanatical, proud Jewish, ultra-Orthodox and mystical Jewish city. And the fact that these missionaries who were from South Africa set up shop in Tzfat at that time, I don't believe they're there now. They left a number of years ago. But the fact that they were operating in Tzfat was considered an extremely offensive kind of thing to the whole identity of the people there. It would be like finding out that Al-Qaeda had a cell operating in the West Wing of the White House or something like that, and it extremely offended people. So I was challenged to go and meet them. I was quite dissatisfied with a lot of elements of Orthodox Judaism anyway, as I told you. And I met these people, and they were extremely friendly. They were very warm. They were also quite well informed about Christian and Jewish theology, and they pretty much opened their home to me to investigate the religion. I participated in prayer and Bible studies. They had kind of activities going on there almost every night of the week. Their home, they lived in a small apartment, but it was like a giant open house for many of the people in the area who were involved with the Christian or Messianic movement. And after about 6 months, I was persuaded that there was enough evidence that Christianity could be true, and I was very anxious for a change in my own lifestyle and in my own beliefs. So I was baptized.
We'll be back with Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can find Michael's site at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado. You can find Michael's site at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. Michael, in terms of your biography, we're up to around the year 2000 when you were baptized in, I guess what in English is called the mystical city of Safed.
Right.
And take it from there. Go ahead.
Okay, well, some of the things that I did when I was associating with a missionary couple in Safed, I studied a lot of apologetic websites, like the Christian Think Tank, like the writings of Risto Santala, who's a Finnish theologian, Alfred Edersheim. I found I uncovered a lot of writings that revealed early rabbinical commentaries about messianic passages in the Old Testament that today Jewish people deny have anything to do with Jesus or with the Messiah. But in the ancient rabbinical tradition, they did point to the Messiah. And, for instance, their rabbinical commentaries on Isaiah 53, which say that this refers to the Messiah of from Joseph, the suffering Messiah who have to die for the sins of his people. I found quite a few things like that, and this made me start to wonder if the standard rabbinical attacks against the New Testament, against the gospel accounts, was really truthful, or if it was just a propaganda campaign. And I also thought of a number of rabbinical teachings within the Jewish religious system that seem extremely implausible, and increase my confidence to believe what's written in the Gospels about Jesus. For instance, the rabbis teach that Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, who, you know, we know that they had trouble conceiving and giving birth, but the rabbis actually teach that they were barren. They did not even have reproductive organs. And, you know, when I learned that in yeshiva, I just sort of accepted it the way you accept anything that the rabbis say in their commentaries. You just read them and absorb them. But when I started studying Christianity, I reflected back on that, and I started to wonder if, first of all, if it was even true, and second of all, maybe the rabbis sort of created this as a legend to rival the whole idea of the virgin birth, which of course Jewish people constantly mock and laugh at as something that's preposterous. And yet I uncovered many rabbinical teachings that also emphasize things, supernatural interpretations that would not normally be conceivable or possible. The rabbis teach, for instance, that Sarah's Abraham and Sarah's father was only 8 years old when she was conceived, which is a total biological impossibility. So this information just encouraged me to take the plunge, if you will, and accept that the gospel accounts of Christ might well be true, and it gave me confidence to be willing to believe in that. I was also attracted to the message of love and forgiveness and generosity that's in the New Testament, which is, I think these are attributes that are missing to a large extent from the Jewish religion, which is a religion that's tends to be very tribal and ghettoized and is not very charitable and compassionate to the world around it. So there were a combination of things that were drawing me into the Christian religion. I also had a friend there in Safed who was a Jewish guy who used to be on the police department in one of the, I think it was in Phoenix, Arizona, and he told me an interesting story that he had been called out to break up a neo-Nazi rally that was going on in the Phoenix area. And this guy, by the way, he's a big guy. He's a kickboxing expert. He's an extremely strong and physical person. He's not easily intimidated by anything. And he had arrested the leader of the rally and was taking him back to the police station, and they were talking in the car, and the person was telling him that if he would examine on the internet certain quotations from the Jewish Talmud, he would be quite horrified to read statements of great hostility and animosity towards the non-Jewish world. And my friend was very skeptical, but he eventually did some research into this. So, and he did uncover these things, and he was appalled by kind of this undercurrent of hostility in the Jewish world towards the non-Jewish world. And this was something that led him into Christianity, and I started to investigate things like that as well.
Speaking of the so-called Babylonian Talmud?
Yes, yes. There are two Talmuds. There's the Babylonian and Jerusalem Talmud. The Babylonian is much longer and more detailed, and the one that's more generally studied. and has a more important role in creating the Jewish legal system. But there are also legends and stories, and there's a whole attitude that's reflected in the Babylonian Talmud against pagans and against Christians as well. The Christian, the anti-Christian statements in the Babylonian Talmud have been written about extensively on the internet. Generally speaking, the rabbis deny that these things are pointing to Christianity because the references are very veiled and obscured. But modern translations of the Talmud into Hebrew, because the Talmud is written in Aramaic, there's some new editions of the Talmud that were recently published in Israel where the Aramaic is translated back into Hebrew and with extensive commentaries. One of these is called the Steinsaltz Talmud. It's very well known. It's even been translated into English. these editions of the Talmud clearly reference in their notations that the various comments are referring to Jesus. So there's quite a notorious passage dealing with the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, where there's a very unkind, to put it lightly, reference to somebody the Talmud calls the sinners of Israel, which is sort of a euphemism. Now, the Steinsaltz Talmud will put in its notation there that this is referring to Jesus of Nazareth. However, if you ask a typical Orthodox rabbi, they will probably tell you that this isn't referring to Jesus, or this is a vague comment, we don't know who this is referring to. It turns out that the reason that the language in the Talmud is obscure is because of Catholic censorship. The Roman Catholic Church in the Middle Ages, as you know, frequently burned the Talmud. And the reason they did this is because of the statement, a number of statements scattered throughout the 20 volumes of the Talmud, which were perceived as being very anti-Christian, extremely blasphemous towards Jesus and towards the Christian religion. So eventually a compromise was reached where the Jewish community agreed to censor these passages, either to remove them or to modify the language so they would not be clearly pointing to Jesus. And then the church pretty much desisted from burning the Talmud as it had done in the Middle Ages. So many rabbis today may actually not realize that these passages refer to Jesus, but as I said, it's more and more accepted and more stated openly in Israel and in other places that these passages do refer to Jesus, and the Orthodox community is kind of returning to its original belligerence against Christ. I've written on Jewish forums and tried to share with people my experiences, and a typical reaction will be, we killed him then, and if he comes back, we'll kill him again. So Jewish people have kind of lost their reticence about openly criticizing the Christian religion, and I think we see this in this production that was on TV recently, you know, the cable production 2 days ago about the lost tomb of Jesus and his family. We see quite clearly the Jewish groups are more and more confident about attacking the theological foundations of the Christian religion. Ted Pike has written a lot about this on the internet, and Tex Mars and people like that. Yeah, you will see these things being spoken about more and more openly. And reading these things led me to start to believe that there was not, that the attacks against Jesus and Christianity were not so much legitimate, but they were part of a propaganda campaign. They were part of a slander and a smear campaign. That you can see clearly reflected in the New Testament. The people at the time called Jesus, they said that he healed people with the power of Satan, the power of Beelzebub, he was a sorcerer. he was accused openly of that in the New Testament. And you do find statements like that in the Talmud, which claim that when Jesus was in Egypt, when the family had gone to Egypt, which the Talmud admits to, that he acquired magical sorcery powers there, and that's what he used when he performed his miracles back in the Holy Land. The Talmud will, many Jewish people today will try to tell you that Jesus never even existed. He wasn't even a historical reality, but the Talmud does say, it speaks of Jesus of Nazareth being hung on the eve of Passover. It puts him in, it doesn't say this occurred in Jerusalem, in a city outside of Jerusalem. There's a little bit of hedging about whether this refers to the Jesus or some other kind of Jesus. But more and more Jewish groups, Orthodox groups, are more and more confident today to openly attack and denounce the fundamentals of the Christian religion. And part of that is associated with the rise of the State of Israel. Because they have their own country, they feel more confident and more secure that they can kind of make these accusations and, they're not bashful. They're not afraid of speaking out about these things as they were when they lived as a minority in Europe, where they were much more vulnerable to the majority Christian population. There are groups such as Rabbi Daniel Lapin in Seattle, who often speaks out against this. He was a supporter of Mel Gibson's movie The Passion, and he criticized Jewish groups for attacking this movie. And he tries to be very careful about not undercutting the moral foundations of America and of the Christian religion. However, Rabbi Lapin himself, as an Orthodox Jew, would never be willing to renounce the Talmud and the Talmudic passages that attack Jesus. So the same I would say with the Neturi Karta movement, who you probably know about, who often attack Zionism in the State of Israel. These people are very committed Orthodox Jews. They're Hasidim, in fact, and they have total veneration for the teachings of the Talmud, and they would never be willing to renounce the anti-Christian teachings of the Talmud. They're just sort of exhorting their brethren to be a lot more discreet about it, to not openly offend their Christian neighbors and associates. So I feel it's a little bit of a deceptive game going on there.
Yeah, I think, Mark, as I recall this, I wasn't there, but Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross got into this with these Neturi Karta people at the last American Free Press conference, where I guess Mark was saying that, on the one hand, it's noteworthy that the Neturi Karta people are anti-Zionist, but Mark Glenn took apparently at great length went into the fact that there is still anti-Christian bias on the part of the Neturi Karta, going back to their understanding of the Babylonian Talmud.
Yeah, I would like to emphasize about the Neturi Karta. The Hasidic group I was involved in Israel has there are Breslov people who are involved or sympathetic to Neturi Karta. However, the theological foundation of their attitude against Zionism is not accepted by most Orthodox Jews today. They are viewed as a real extreme fringe.
Just one second.
Sure.
Yeah, they have a peculiar attitude. There are
a number of statements in the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, that following the exile from Jerusalem, following the Roman destruction, the Jewish people were enjoined to move into exile and not to rebel against their host nations and not to return in force to take back Palestine, to try to reoccupy it. Based on those teachings, the Neturi Karta say that the entire Zionist experiment is a violation of Talmudic teachings, that the Jewish people were never allowed to go back there and to recreate this, this Jewish state. However, most
rabbis of Ashkenazi and Sephardic orientations reject the Neturi Karta interpretation. In fact, the Kabbalistic or the mystical interpretation on these, what they call the three oaths in the Talmud, is that they were only relevant for 1,000 years. And actually, starting around the time of the beginning of the Crusades, was approximately the time period in which the window of opportunity would reopen to allow Jews to go back to the Judean homeland. This is according to many rabbis. Other people say that since the UN, we can talk about the New World Order implications of the UN, but since the UN did partition the country and sort of open the door for a restored Jewish state, that the Zionist presence there was not considered to be a rebellion against the Christian or the Gentile nations, and was not considered to be a rebellion against God's exile. So most rabbis do not accept the Neturi Karta teaching about Zionism. And I'd like to talk about Christian Zionism after this.
Absolutely, Michael. We'll be back with Michael Korn. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can find Michael Korn's website at Jesus Over Israel. Stay tuned.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado. You can find Michael's website at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. Wanted to alert Michael and also the listeners to the fact that historically we have a series of commercial breaks that take place in about the next 10 minutes of the show, and then there will be a longer period of time for more extended conversation again. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us on the World Wide Web at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. Again, if you'd like to give a gift to the Republic Broadcasting Network, you can do so at republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by, again, using those same contact points, republicbroadcasting.org, or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. And if you have any questions today for Michael Korn in these next 2 hours, you can give him a call or give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. That call-in number, again, is 1-800-313-9443. Michael, we're going to be interrupted a couple of times in the next 10 minutes with commercial breaks, but as far as Christian Zionism, we'll get started and take it away.
Well, I keep hearing you. I want to thank you again for allowing me to speak on your show.
Oh, sure.
You keep mentioning San Antonio, which is kind of a red flag for me. I lived in South Africa from 2000 to about 2004, and the missionaries I was involved with in Israel from South Africa, and I went there to kind of get reprogrammed, I guess you might say, or get a new perspective on things. And the church that I used to attend, which was a charismatic church, a very fine church, I enjoyed it quite a bit, good sermons. The one problem I had with this church, which is called Alberton Christian Fellowship in Johannesburg, is that the pastor was a big fan of Pastor John Hagee down there in San Antonio at Cornerstone Church. And he used to show almost every Sunday night. You know, we had services Sunday morning and then Sunday evening. Sunday evenings he would show videos of Pastor Hagee speaking on you know, on TBN or whatever network he would be broadcast on. And some of his sermons were very powerful. Pastor Hagee is an extremely powerful speaker, but when he gave a sermon about 9/11 and the New World Order, and that started ringing alarm bells for me, because I did not believe that he was being very perceptive about what really happened on 9/11. And about the motives of the American government, the American power elite. He also is a rabid, rabid Zionist. I could see this even a number of years ago. And I want to state straight out, I think that Zionism... are you taking a break now?
Yes. We'll be back with this whole discussion of John Hagee and Christian Zionism when Mark Dankoff's America returns from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network with our special guest today, Michael Korn. You can find Michael's website at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. Stay tuned.